Let us pledge to each other, with this great lady looking on, that we can, and so help us God, we will make America great again.
And we will make America great again!
Greetings, folks. On this Thanksgiving Eve, I have a very special podcast. It's not me tonight. Instead, it is a good friend of mine who goes on Instagram by Suffer Freely. And she and a series of her friends, all folks that have decided to fight the good fight to help expose pedophiles, sex trafficking, satanic ritual abuses, and so forth, that are rampant, not just in small communities, but in large facilities and in places that you would not even begin to believe exist. Tonight, I'm going to share a short version of her testimony that she's been presenting online. She's been shadow banned quite a bit. And so I want to help by adding this out there, making it public, and I want you to share this with as many people as you possibly can. It's very important to understand where she comes from so that you know the battle that she's fighting is real and that her weapons against all of these evildoers, they're coming from a real place. They're not make-believe, they're not speculation, they're reality in the world that she has lived in. So, without any further eloquence, I'm going to hand this thing over to Sierra Swift, also known as Suffer Freely.
Hi, my name is Sierra Swift. I go by Suffer Freely on Instagram, and this is my testimony. I was born into a very crazy family. I grew up with my great-grandparents because my mother was unfit to raise me and my biological father was out of the picture. I grew up knowing that I was different, knowing that I was weird, getting in trouble, being rebellious, but having a very sweet and loving spirit that everybody was attracted to. That got me into some trouble. I was wild, I was crazy, I was boy crazy, I fit in with everyone, I was able to love on babies, imagine that. I was always up for hanging out with people 10 times my age, imagine that also. And living in Orange County, California meant that there were a lot of interesting things that I saw. I was raised by Disney. Quite literally, I was in a family who were members of Club 33. Yes, that is Walt Disney's 33rd degree Mason wink club at Disneyland. And I went there a lot, every single birthday. I went there a lot of Sundays after church. I did grow up in the church. I was raised Presbyterian. Not even sure what that is anymore, but I was raised playing chimes and handbells, singing in a choir, going to youth group on Wednesday nights, attending church, whether I liked it or not, on Sunday mornings. And it was interesting, let's just say that. So I did grow up knowing about Jesus. I knew that Jesus loved me. However, did I really love Jesus? Probably not, because I walked away. And you wouldn't really walk away if you truly knew the love of Christ. So I had got to admit, nope, I did not know the true Jesus. I did not know God. I did not have the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of me. And I think that will become pretty evident with the rest of the information I share here. When I was 11 years old, my great-grandmother, who had been the only mother that I really knew in my life, passed away. It was unexpected. I went to stay with an aunt and uncle of mine, which I will share more about later. And that time was just really volatile for me. I was already going into puberty. I was trying to figure out who I was, who I wanted to be, what kind of a person I would be. I would become, and being told over and over again, if you don't do X, Y, and Z, you're gonna end up just like your mother. Well, my mother was a drug addicted prostitute. She was living on the streets and in and out of jail. So to be told that as a child is really traumatizing. And to experience so much trauma already and then be told those types of things were curses that were put on my life. The Bible does say that the power of life and death is in our tongue. So as adults, when you speak those things over children, please know that what you are doing is cursing them. You are messing with the workers of darkness, and that is your own iniquity, and you will be judged for that on judgment day. So please, if that is one of you and you think that telling a kid that if you don't do things the right way you're gonna end up a certain way, know that you are cursing that child, and shame on you. Like any damsel in distress, I found the first guy that would get me out of Dodge, and I moved with him to Northern California, the San Francisco, San Jose area, yes, Silicon Valley, along with Facebook, Google, all of those tech companies up there, along with a lot of different sports teams and colleges, you name it. While I went up there, I was in a relationship. That relationship quickly ended, and I was then on my own, a renegade in a very interesting corner of the earth. When I turned 21, I was invited to a strip club for the first time. I went, I shook my butt in front of a bunch of men who were throwing money at me, and I quickly realized that the money that I figured I would never see, that was passed down from my great-grandfather, that was embezzled by my aunt and uncle, was something that I was no longer going to fight for, because it was a fight I didn't think I could win. So being left to my own devices, I said, screw all of it, I can make money myself, and I became a exotic dancer in Silicon Valley. About a month or two after that, I was hooked on drugs, anything from cocaine to Molly, that is pure MDMA. I was drinking roughly, 20 shots a night, because they were always double shots, sometimes triple, and I would have anywhere from 8 to 10 of them, balancing it out with the cocaine, balancing it out with weed, balancing it out with all of the other pills that I would pop to come up, to come down, and to survive myself and any given day in the life of Sierra. Within about 3 months of that, I was approached by a female pimp. She told me that I would make a lot more money if I would just sell myself to men. And you know, that curse that was told to me way back when, that if I didn't do this and that, it'd end up just like my mom, came to pass. I became a prostitute. I became a high-end call girl for the NFL, for the NBA, for the MLB, for NHL, for rappers, actors, executives, for Google, for Facebook, you name it. Hey, ABC, remember how you've had my story for the last 3 years also? Yeah, we should talk about that. Right, so there's a 23-year-old girl now who has been in and out of a lot of stuff. I got pregnant, I had an abortion, I was 5150'd numerous times because I went completely psycho. I didn't know where to turn, where to run to. I go up and down the coast trafficking drugs, other girls. I ran a bit of a call girl agency via MySpace, believe it or not, and a lot of the girls who thought were my friends were actually my hookers that didn't truly know that the men that they were sleeping with while we were all hanging out were men that I had sold them to. I was a disgusting human being. I am not saying any of this to brag. I am saying all of it because if I were to hold back and not share this with you, you would probably think that I am just someone hiding behind a keyboard and one of those Bible thumping Jesus freaks who doesn't know anything that I am talking about. That's a lie. At 23 years old, I was out of money, I was out of hope, I was out of ideas. I was at the end of myself, and while I did not get saved at 23, I did call out to a God that I didn't believe in, and I begged him to get me out of the situation I was in, and my option was rehab. I went into rehab, it was a Christian rehab. I did not learn about Christ. I did not come to Christ in that rehab. I got out of my situation. I got out of my circumstances, but nothing really changed internally. 2012, I was a nanny. The family was awesome. The father of that family was an atheist, and he was diagnosed with cancer. While he fought cancer and while I watched this man go through chemo, go through radiation, go through the painful experience of cancer, I often pleaded with this God who I still didn't believe in to take someone else, like my father, who had tried to rape me when I was 22 years old when I met him, to please take someone like the bad men who were fathers that I knew who were abusing their children. And those were some crazy prayers, but for some reason I knew that there was somebody listening to those. After watching the horrors of cancer, after watching the horrors of someone who knew that they weren't going to be living much longer, there was a night where he had a moment of lucidity and he woke up from really a drug-induced coma, and as he murmured that he wanted to talk about Jesus and know Jesus, his wife called me home with her kids and asked if I would bring them home. And I walked into this scene where this man was in a hospice bed and his wife was there and some friends were there, and there was a pastor there, and though he was from a mega church, he shared the gospel message with this guy. And as he accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, repented of his sins, and didn't have much time left, I basically did the same. While I wasn't dying of cancer, I was dying of guilt and shame, and man, it was eating away at me, just like the cancer was eating away at this guy. And so watching like a fly on the wall, I went ahead and made the decision to believe in this Savior that was being talked about, who had come and died for the sins of this world. And I knew that if I didn't accept that right then and there, that I was just going to continue dying on the inside. And I so badly wanted to become alive, because even though I was cleaned up, even though I was off the streets, even though my lifestyle had changed, the condition of my heart had not. And it was keeping me back from being a different person, truly being a different person. So on November 21st, 2012, while I watched somebody else taking his last breaths, and with the last breath he had in his lungs proclaiming his faith in Jesus, I so too did. And while I did that, something supernatural and radical happened. And please don't think that I am getting Pentecostal and charismatic on you. I am just letting you know that what I experienced was real. And what I experienced was something that every time I look back on it and think about it, brings me so much joy, brings me so much hope. And it just, it fills my heart to the point of wanting to share it over and over. So every time I get the chance to talk to somebody about the gospel message, I am so, so happy to testify that I was saved in a manner of a way I was saved. When I first went into church, it was on Mother's Day. And the message that I heard was about, it was about a young girl, and her name was Mary. And while she didn't necessarily want to have happen to her what happened, God chose her. And he chose her at a very young age to carry Jesus. And I say it like that because I believe that there are many women around the world who didn't necessarily ask for what God invited them into, but they are carrying Jesus, and they are being shunned, and they are being hated, and they are being ridiculed. But God chose you. And so despite the pain and despite the hatred that the rest of the world shows you, you are chosen for such a time as this. And all of the pain and the torture you have gone through is not for nothing. And God is going to use all of it for his glory. It's not for your own glory. It's not because you can feel good about yourself. I feel horrible about myself constantly. But because I serve the Most High God, and because I know that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords loves me, It is okay what happened to me, and it is okay what continues to happen with the mocking and the scoffing. It holds no weight in my world anymore, because the lover of my soul holds all of the weight, and so to God be all of the glory. So I get saved, I go to church, I learn about this girl named Mary who had this baby named Jesus who was going to be the king of the world. And I sat there listening to that on Mother's Day thinking to myself, you don't say, huh? And at that moment it was as if everything changed. It was as if all of the pain became a reason, not a burden. It was as if all of the hurt and the torture of my soul was no longer going to just be torture, but it was going to be a testimony. And so I am here today just to testify to you that with God, truly all things are possible, but without Him, you will be left in dirt, in junk, in hurt, in harm. And until you realize that Jesus was sent to free us from all of that, it is going to torture you. It is going to burden you. And so please, if you are listening to this today and you are still not confident that the blood of Jesus is sufficient to cover all of that, please hear the words of someone who has walked this, who has lived it, and who lives it, knowing that God called me into this to free others. God's calling you into it also. He's calling you into it because He wants you to free others also.
I have nothing really to close with on this podcast other than just to remind you, if you're on Instagram, go follow her at SufferFreely, and it's Suffer_Freely, or follow her Discernment Mafia or Operation Soul Saver, or all three of them for that matter, and do what you can in your prayers, in your reposting, and so forth, to help the mission that is going on, that's just now beginning, so that the word can be gotten out to the appropriate places. Again, I thank you. You've been faithful in following me. I ask that you give her your time and attention and energy and trust as well. For now, where we go one, we go all.